Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3. You can see it up there. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Isn't that awesome? Children, so now I'm not talking about your children, I'm talking about you, okay? I'm a children here, and it's directed to me and all of us. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Okay, let's pray. Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for the gathering. Thank you for those that are online watching and streaming, God. Thank you for those that are upstairs, Lord, in the overflow room. And thank you for those that are here in the sanctuary. God, you are gathering your church, God, the ecclesia, the called out assembly, Father. And we're so grateful to that. And so, Lord, I pray that today that you would speak to us about our parents, that you would speak to us about our moms and our dads, God. And that you would convict us, Lord, and you would do something in us. I know a lot of us are very hurt, God, by our parents as well. And I pray that you would speak into that pain and brokenness as well. And so come, Holy Spirit, and just breathe over us as we listen and wrestle and partake your word. To that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not to convey your words, God, but convey your heart. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. The commandment to honor our parents is really therefore basic to all of our social relationships, and it really is the foundation for decent human society. If you think about it, if you remember my series on sonship and all the stats I laid out, and the deterioration of the family has caused all kinds of societal issues. The lack of the father or the mother or the abuse or whatever, maybe all these things where the family has been attacked has made ripple effects throughout our society. And so we understand that this deep understanding of family with mother and father as the head is really the essential building block of human society. It really is. And that's why the scriptures in all different ways, what God does, he protects the institution of family. He's protecting the institution of marriage. No matter what other moral codes were laid out in the time of the writing of scriptures, the Jewish moral code where we get our ideas from went by far the idea to protect family. That was always the idea. And of course, the cornerstone of that family is mom and dad. And the way that the function works is the honoring and the obeying of mom and dad creates this essential building block of society. You guys understand where I'm coming from? It's important. Having a healthy family is essential. It's essential. And in fact, it'll even make you better at your work. Did you know that? So I'm going to appeal to us that maybe don't understand this, but you understand work and money and all these things. Listen, here's a quote by Zig Ziglar, a very famous motivational speaker. He says, "The evidence is convincing that the better our relationships are at home, the more effective we are in our careers. If we're having difficulty with a loved one, that difficulty will be translated into reduced performance on the job. In studying the millionaires in America," this is U.S. News and World Reports, "a picture of the typical millionaire is an individual who has worked 8 to 10 hours a day for 30 years, is still married to his or her high school or college sweetheart. A New York executive search firm, in a study of 1,365 corporate vice presidents, discovered that 87% were still married to their one and only spouse, and that 92% were raised in two-parent families. The evidence is overwhelming that the family is the strength and foundation of society. Strengthen your family ties and you'll enhance your opportunity to succeed. Interesting, right? You know, Ziegler and all these studies are just saying it really plainly, that if you have a healthy family, you're going to have a healthy life. You have a healthy family, you're going to have a healthy work life. If you've ever been at work, you know, and your boss is just going crazy on you, you know what you should do? Start praying for his family. Just start praying for his family or her family, because most likely there's something going on between, you know, the spouse or the kids or something like that. If the situation is overly, or, you know, you have someone that's working for you and they're just losing their mind or something, start praying for their family. And you'll see it's the essential building block. And we know what happens at home and these things really affect what we do when we go out, you know, when we're at church, when we're all over the place. And so we're seeing this connection that happens. At the heart of this family unit is the commandment to honor our mothers and our fathers. It's the heart of it. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." See, the obligation of this mother and father, this respect, love, and reverence, was so instinctively felt by everyone at this time that really the duty has naturally found a place in almost every moral code. So in other words, this is not simply like a Jewish or Christian idea. Understanding understanding family, understanding the building blocks of family, how to run a family, all these things. Almost every single moral code that's written out by different cultures have included this aspect of what it means to operate in family, of simply honoring your mother and father, respecting the authorities and so in their life. I'll give you a few examples. In the Maxims of Tahotep, this was an Egyptian author, and he probably lived before Abraham. And this is what he says. He says, "The duty of filial piety is strictly inculcated." And so Egyptian society, in their moral code laid out before Abraham, it was ingrained in that society to honor your mother and your father. Many of us are Asian, so we'd be very familiar with Confucius. And so Confucius, in that same way in China, based his whole moral system upon the principle of parental authority. That's what we call Confucianism. This is the simple idea, and not all Confucianism is bad, because I think that there are just like universal laws. There's these things that God put into place, and these good things that God put into place, all kinds of cultures took it, and, you know, and then they may have added many other things to it, and it kind of becomes, you know, it could become a little off at times. But you can see that this became the foundation. And so even Confucius in this way does this. In Rome, the Roman Empire, probably the greatest empire that the world has ever seen. In Rome, the idea of filial piety and honoring your mother and father, all these things, is regarded as the main foundation of their political edifice. It's written out, so it's not just a Christian idea, even though, you know, there's general roots, and we would say this is the source. We could see how important the honoring of your mother and father, obeying them, how important it is, because it's rampant among moral codes all over time, through different societies, throughout different cultures. And this, in other words, this is really important. It's amazing. You know, in the Ten Commandments, if you remember my series on the Ten Commandments, remember there's the first four, and then the fifth one is this idea of honoring the parents in this way. You know, it's interesting that the head of our duties towards our neighbor, because then it shifts into talking about our neighbors and all those other things. As the commandments go from the first about honoring God, And then the honoring of parents is so important because it's the bridge that we get to everything else of honoring our neighbor and by which you don't lie and don't cheat and don't steal and don't murder. And all those things kind of come into being in this way. And its importance is shown by this being really the first commandment with a promise. This is key. It's the first commandment with a promise. And we can't just like get away from that, because the importance of this command cannot be overstated. Let me just kind of break it down by just doing a quick word study with you, okay? You know, I love word studies. So the word honor, or the word translated honor, is the word kavod. Does that sound familiar? It's also the word for the glory of God. The kavod, what it means, the heaviness, it's weightiness. And so someone who has a lot of authority, we say these terms like, that guy carries a lot of weight. It doesn't mean he's fat, right? I mean, that's not what we mean. It means, ooh, that guy carries a lot of weight. Well, that root is from the word kavod, which is the weightiness, it's the heaviness, and that's the glory of God. When the glory of God comes, what happens? People feel the weight, and we fall on our knees before the Lord. It's powerful. That's what happens when revival comes. The weightiness, the glory of God comes down, and we feel it because his authority comes down. And so the word honor, when he says honor your mother and father, it's the kavod. It's the same word that's laid out here. And it, like I said, refers to the glory of God. The weightiness in terms of impressiveness and importance. That's what it means. So the meaning of this kavod in this context really derives from the previous verses. Remember, the first four commandments center on honoring God himself. So this is the bridge. This is the bridge commandment. When we likewise honor our mother and our father, the Lord says, I'm taking this from Jewish writing, okay? It's on the condition. It says, I'll just read this. When we likewise honor our father and mother, the Lord says, I reckon it as though I dwell with them and they honored me. Very similar in that same idea as you've done it to the least of them, you've done it to me. We see that Jesus uses a similar idea. And so God is saying, when you honor your mom and your dad, it's as if you are honoring God himself. That's the idea. This is the bridge to this whole thing. And let me just throw this extra, just a bonus, okay? You know, we haven't been around together, 50%, I'm going to give you a bonus. So remember, when Moses came down with the first tablet of commandments, the tablet of commandments basically said, so, you know, going back to the Exodus, honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which your God gives you. Awesome. Well, obviously we know what happened. He came down and, you know, people were having a party like you wouldn't believe. And so he was the anger of God and those tablets were broken. Moses went back up and he had to, remember, the first one, God wrote it. Okay, very clear. The second one, Moses wrote it. And this is really important for us to grasp the significance of that. Moses wrote it, and so when he came down, you know what happened? God added to the commandment. And that's what we have in Ephesians. The Ephesians passage is the second tablet of stone that was written in the book of Deuteronomy. And what does it say here? Same thing, right? Children, or honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so they may be well with you. And then God added, Moses wrote it, that you may live long on the earth. Now, why is that addition important? You know why it's important? Is because, think about this. And this really is talking about the heart of God, okay? You're an Israelite. Your leader went up to the mountain, had bliss with God, came down with these supernatural tablets of stone. When he came down, though, everyone was in idolatry. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know how, I mean, we know how long Moses, but he wasn't gone that long. And so when he comes down, all of a sudden they're bowing down to this golden calf with, think about this, with all the jewelry and gold that God blessed them with. They left Egypt and they plundered Egypt, it says. So God blessed them with wealth. They took that wealth and built this golden calf. And so, I mean, let's imagine we're all Israelites, okay? And we just did that. And now Moses goes, I need to go consult with God. I'm going to come back. Can you imagine what you're thinking? Moses is coming, God's going to come back. I'm a dead man. I'm dead. This is it for me. And so the father heart of God, God adds to the commandment. No, it's okay. You're going to live a long life. Isn't that amazing? You know, when I read that, I was like, wow, God is so awesome. He like knows the word. Like he knows that the Israelites are struggling. Oh, you know, like, oh my goodness, I really messed up. We blew it. You know, and now there is, it's like, you know, do you remember when you were young and you know, your mom was home and you did something. And remember what your mom said? Wait till your dad gets home. Remember that? That was scary, man, right? And you know, like 3 hours, 4 hours until he gets home and you're scared. That's basically what the Israelites, you know, it's like, wait till dad, wait till Moses comes back, wait till the father comes back to this thing. And God, it's the second writing is God's way of saying, I have not given up on you. You made a mistake, I've not given up on you. And in fact, here's the commandments again. If you follow it, not only will you be blessed, you're going to live a long life. And that's pretty cool, right? I mean, that's, you can see the difference between the first commandment and the second commandment and why it's there. But also, let me give you a theological significance on top of that. What it proves, so this is fall, okay? You know, redemption, you know, all these things, the cross. Think about this. Man sins. Man sins. God makes a provision for that sin. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to use a man, Moses. So it's important this time that Moses writes it and not God himself. And this is always God's heart to use man and women. Okay, I'm not just man, I'm talking about gender, okay? But to use people. He could do it himself, but he wants to use people, all kinds of people, flawed people. You know, mature people, immature people. That's what God wants to do. He always wants to use people. I remember what my professor always said, without God, we can't. But without us, he won't. Because he wants to use people. And so we see kind of this drama laid out, okay? That was the bonus for you guys. Just a little extra. So let's continue on. So why should we honor our parents? So why should we honor this? Okay, P. Sam, I understand the commandments. We're a long time ago. Okay, why do we do this? Well, three simple points, or actually just 2 points, and then one add-on at the end, okay? Sorry. It's okay. I was told this week that in the SP Youth, one of our brothers had 3 points. One point had 6 points. The other one had 6 points with 3 points, and so on and so far. So I'm giving you 2 points plus one, all right? So I love it. For me, I love that stuff, man, right? Give me more. All right, number one, why should we honor our parents? Because our parents mirror God. Our parents mirror God. Why is honoring our fathers and mothers, why is this the first commandment, you know, or why is honoring our fathers and mothers the first of the commandments dealing with our horizontal relationships and others? Because our parents resemble the Creator. Since we were God's partners in creation. Or I should say, me talking about my kids, but your parents were partners with God in your creation. That's astounding. I mean, this is like, we know we did the baby dedications. This is the most amazing gift that God gives us. Not only are we created in the image of God, which is unbelievable, it's amazing. Not only do we get to be redeemed, but you know what happens? We get to procreate other beings in the image of God. That's pretty amazing. It's not just, you know, not just Adam and Eve, you know, the first ones, but every single one of us. And when we look at our kids, we can see the beauty, the majesty, the wisdom of God, that we created kids in God's image and in some of it in our image as well. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. See, our parents were God's partners in creation. They also represent God in the life of the small child. They're functioning as primary caregiver and teacher. A person should recognize that his parents are the cause of life in the world and is therefore proper to love and to respect them. Why should we love and respect God? Because we say, because God created us. People say, of course. In that same way, why should we respect our moms and dads? Because they created us as well. It's a mirror effect. Our parents mirror God in terms of his function and the things that he's done in that place. And so the Lord intended that the family would really picture his relationship with us just as he created both man and woman in his image. So children are to regard their parents as divinely ordained and truly significant. Okay, can we just take a moment and just say that? I want you to say it out loud. Just say, my mom and dad, right? Let me go back to my words here. My mom and dad were divinely ordained and truly significant. Just say that to you. You don't have to say it so you can hear. You don't have to yell it. Okay, I want you to say that out loud. My parents are divinely ordained and truly significant. And all the kids in here, I want you to say it too. And nice, I want you to look at your parents when you're saying it with some love. Come on now. They're like, eh, okay. That's your homework. That's your homework when you get home, okay? Our parents, in God's eyes and heart, they mirror God. Now, let me take the flip side of that. We know that our kids mirror us. You know what I mean? We know that they mirror us. I mean, most of us as parents, whenever something good happens, what do you say? That's for me. That's for me. When something bad happens, that's your side of the family. I mean, we like very much inherently recognize this. I remember when my kids were really young. Some of them are still really young. But when they were young, I didn't have to tell my daughter to be competitive. I didn't have to say a word because it was inside of her. And it was crazy. We would be racing all the time. In fact, if you come to my house right now, when I park the car, you know the first thing that happens, the kids get out and they run to the elevator because the first one to touch the elevator wins. And then if you didn't touch the elevator first, then the first one out of the elevator wins. And if you weren't that, then the first one to touch the door wins. And so it's a constant competition. And so I remember one time Elise was quite young. I let her win all the time because I'm a good dad, you know. I let her win all the time. And just one day, I just thought, you know what? I'm going to win this time. And so, you know, so we were getting out and so we're running to the elevator, you know, and I usually like kind of go slow. But this time I touched the elevator first. You know what happened? She started crying. And then Lisa came and I got in big trouble. It's crazy. And I sit there and it's like, who taught her to be so competitive? Me. Actually, I didn't teach her. It just happened. It's crazy. I'll tell you another quick story. So my son Andrew, some of you guys refer to him as my mini-me, right? We are so similar. I should say this. He is much better than me. His personality, his kindness, I mean, I just get blown away with him. He's much better than me, but we're so similar in many ways. And one of the ways that we're similar is in the way that we sleep. So my love language is physical touch. So don't start hugging me, okay? That's not what... My love language is tactile. Like, I like to touch soft things. And so that's just me. And so generally when I sleep, that's why it's really hard for me to sleep without my wife. And like in the 2 weeks of quarantine, man, it was really tough. Because I'm used to my wife next to me, and I'm sorry for TMI, you know, but she has very, very soft skin. And so I like to touch her arm, you know, and if I'm going to be honest, and I don't everyone turn around, because I know my wife's there, I got her permission, okay? I'm changing. Took 18 years, I'm changing. So I got my wife's permission. It's because I call her mom. I call her Amma. That's, you know, I should stop doing that. Because you know when our kids were little, because I would say Lisa, and then our kids started calling her Lisa. And so I said, okay, forget that. So I just started calling her mom. So then the kids, you know, mom. It was just so. So I got permission. And so I like to rub her tummy. It's very soft. I like it, you know. I like to rub her tummy. And so my son, now he only comes in maybe once a week. But for a couple years, he came into our room every single day. And he would come in and he would sleep on one side there, and then I would, me, you know, or Lisa in the middle, and I'm on the other side. And so, and we're jostling for position because my son does the same exact thing. Same thing. He comes and he takes his hand and he rubs my wife's tummy. And then I find myself, you know, you do this and you're sleeping, and I'm like, and I turn over and I'm, you know, and I was like, this is not as soft as I thought. And it's my son's hand. And we're wrestling for a pole position. Now, this is a true story. And sometimes Andrew gets mad because I push his hand away. You know, this is my wife first. Right before, you know, she's your mom. Remember, husbands, wives, we're first, not the kids. And so, and then Andrew gets mad and he throws my arm. And it's, I didn't teach him that. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't teach our kids this. It's just inherent because our kids mirror us. As parents, we mirror God. It's the same kind of effect that happens here in this place. We mirror God. We understand that God is our Heavenly Father. The reciprocity of respect shown to Him will be demonstrated in the way that we show respect to our parents. It's the same idea. It's like when Jesus is talking about forgiveness, and he's not saying forgive somebody because they deserve it, right? He's not saying forgive somebody because they've repented and turned from their ways. He's not saying forgive them because they're a good person. He says forgive them because Father God forgave you. It's the same idea. And when we think about it in this context, because we respect our parents, because we respect God. As God lays this out there, it's this reciprocity that's taking place. The respect shown to Him will be demonstrated in the way we show respect to our parents. So why should you honor your mom and your dad? Because they are mirrors to God. They mirror God. They represent God in many ways. Number two, why? Because God promises a blessing. How many of you guys want to be blessed today? I mean, honestly, like, how many of you guys want to receive this grace from? I mean, we already have grace unto salvation. I'm talking about this. What James talks about, a greater grace. How many of you guys want to receive something from God? Blessing, you know, all these different things in our lives. You know how you can do it? Honor your mom and your dad. It's the only commandment that comes with a blessing. He says, I mean, and it's like simple arithmetic, right? If you do this, God says, I will bless you, man. I mean, I will bless you. I'll make your life smooth on the earth. I will give you, in fact, you know, remember the Deuteronomy passage, I will give you a long life. And the word long life doesn't mean like, you know, you're gonna grow, you're gonna be 110 years old, but the last 30 years, you're gonna be in a nursing home, you know what I mean? And no one's gonna look after you, and you're gonna be neglected. No, that's not what it means. When the Bible talks about long life, it's the idea is fruitfulness,
Right? When they say he lived a long life, we mean he lived a good life. He lived a life that was full and adventurous, and there were so many cool things that happened, you know, in that place. That's what he means. And if you want that kind of life, I mean, really, if you want that kind of life, what does he say? Honor your mom and your dad. Honor your parents. Respect them. Give your heart to them in that way. The reward of honoring our parents is long and fruitful life. Conversely, I hate to say this, but conversely, disrespecting one's parents results in judgment from the Lord and potentially even a shortened life. If the positive reinforcement is a long life, then surely the other part of that is a shorter life. I mean, I don't exactly know what that means, you know, to be honest, but there's something about that. Devotion as well to one's parents is also a sign of respect shown to one's culture, especially for a lot of us that grew up in Asian cultures and identity. Because what happens is when this is continually passed on, what it does, it ensures the perpetuation of one's culture. And you know, these things are good. Like, you know, in Asian culture, you know, the honoring of parents and these things and filial piety is such a blessing. You know, I run into a lot of Americans and, you know, American culture, you know, individualism, you know, my own choice and all these things. And, you know, which is really causing a lot of havoc during COVID, right? Because it's all about my own personal rights. But really, for us to really tackle COVID together, it's got to be about everybody else, you know, including me, but it's got to be more about other people. And so we see all these things, and I run into so many of my American friends, and they love, I mean, they just love hanging around with Asians, especially the older ones. And I ask them why. I mean, why are you so drawn? Some of them said just very simply, because in your culture, you know how to honor your elders, and when I'm in your culture, I feel honored. When I'm in my culture, I don't feel that. Now, listen, I'm not bagging on America or anything like that. I'm also American. But we can understand that there are some differences that's there. And so there's very sometimes very good things about our culture, you know, our Chinese culture, our Korean culture. We can't throw it all away, because a lot of those things, we hold on to those things that are biblically rooted and grounded, which is honoring our mothers and our fathers. And when we do that, this idea of a blessing, long life, it perpetuates this good culture that's laid out for us in this way. And respecting our parents ensures that succeeding generations will accept the teachings, you know, and respect their elders and their parents as well. Does that make sense? And this is part of the whole blessing that's laid out here, the honoring of your parents. It increases your lifespan, and it really blesses the quality of life. There's not much more I can say to that. It's like it kind of speaks for itself. You know, you'll be blessed. God will bring blessings in your life, and you'll have a very full life. That's pretty awesome. I mean, if that's not good incentive, I don't know what is. You know, to be honest, if that's not good incentive to at least attempt, you know, to come to that place. Now, let me go to this is not the reason why, but three. I want to just talk about a nuance here, okay? Let me just preface this by laying this out first. So, biblically, we are commanded to show honor to God. There's some verses up there. 1 Timothy 6:6, to our parents, read Ephesians 6:1 through 3. To our employers, 1 Timothy 6:1. To fellow believers, Romans 12:10. To leaders and teachers of the church, 1 Timothy 5:17. To civil servants, this is police, firemen, you know, our government officials, things like that. Romans 13:1 through 7. And so we're commanded to show honor across the board. In fact, if you really, really want to lay it out and we talk about Christian conduct, we should basically show honor to everybody. How do I know that? 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. We see it laid out. This is how it works. Now, okay. We're going to go into a little difficult space here for a moment, okay? The command to honor our moms and our dads is made easier to fulfill if we live in honorable conditions, right? Like, I can honor my mom and dad because my mom and dad are honorable. I can honor my dad because he's an honorable man. And he sets, my family is stable and is at peace and all these things. So then we have to come to the question, well, what do we, you know, PSAM, am I still obligated to honor my mom and dad in unhonorable conditions? What if my dad's a really, really bad guy? Am I still required to honor him? I don't want to sound so black and white, you know, are these things, but the answer is yes. I don't want to feel like I'm putting you in a straitjacket. You know, I want to, you know, speak with a lot of sensitivity, but the answer is yes, because it's a reflection of our honor of God in that way. So let me just take a nuance here, okay, just a nuance. There is a difference, and, you know, and I've shared this before in the past, there is a difference between obeying and honoring, okay? And we got to make very clear of the distinction that's laid out here. Sometimes obeying is different than honoring. Sometimes they're the same, and we understand this. Because, you know, you can obey without honoring, right? Like, I tell my kids, you know, go wash the car. Fine. Well, they wash the car. You know, or many parents, come on, especially multiple siblings, you tell your kid, you know, say sorry, right? You one kid hit the other kid, say sorry. Sorry. They obeyed you. They certainly didn't honor you or honor that, right? I'm making sense, right? And so we see that. So can you disobey and still honor? Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think this is how it kind of is made out. Now, with a caveat, parents and government officials may use their position for evil or for abuse. They may abuse their privileged position of authority. We see this happening all the time. And in those cases, let's make this clear, okay? This is the caveat. In those cases, we must obey God rather than men. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. And in this way, it's a little different. I'll give you a case study if we understand this, okay? Before then, I'll say in 1 Timothy 2:2, we are commanded to pray for those in authority over us, but the qualifier there is so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Now, this emphatically does not imply a fatalistic resignation to the decrees of evil authorities or rulers. For example, case study. Let's think of Nazi Germany. Just think of that. Let's say you're in that place, you know, and is it a biblical imperative to honor Hitler in the extermination, you know, of a group of people? No way. So I mean, clearly, if there is something very dastardly or evil happening, you know, and their parents are asking you to do something evil, no. You're under no obligation to obey that at all. Under no obligation to obey. But yet there's still some obligation of honor. And the way I want to just talk about that is it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. Okay? And so let me read this to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. We read that before. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The key to that passage is that phrase, in the Lord. Okay? So you've heard my illustration before. If your mom and dad, and they're in tough financial straits, and they turn to you, so I'll use Aaron here, right? It said, Aaron, I want you, I have this plan. We're going to go, you know, tomorrow night, and we're going to go to HSBC, and we're going to rob the bank because we need money. You need to honor, you know, I'm your mom and dad. You got to tell me, of course. That violates in the Lord, doesn't it? Right? And so Aaron is in no obligation to obey that command from the parents. Your parents ask you to do something that's unbiblical, right? Forget it, out of bounds. But Aaron's heart is to honor. You know, you can go about different ways. You can say, you crazy, man! What are you, nuts? Right? Or the heart, you say, mom and dad, this is wrong. This is wrong. I'm gonna pray for you. And it's a heart attitude. I learned this with my own dad. My dad, talking about a mirror, my dad and I, we're like this. We're close, okay? We're very, very similar. And we're both quite intense, and we're both quite disciplined, and it's just very similar. Even to this day, my dad, every single, he's 80. He turned 80 last December. He's going to be 81 this year. He still runs every day. He exercises. He does push-ups still, right? He's just like me. It's just crazy. You know, for a long time, I thought, man, I used to say, my dad's just like me. It's like, no, I'm like him, you know? Come on. And so in this way, and I remember, because we're both kind of fiery, and I remember when my dad, and I was graduating university, and this was the summer of 1993, and I was coming to Hong Kong that summer, and my whole plan was to come to Hong Kong and be a missionary and live here and do sports ministry. That was the whole plan. My parents were planning to go to Uzbekistan as missionaries with the Southern Baptists. So I was going to go YWAM route. My parents are going to go Southern Baptist route. And so we argued almost every single day. I mean, like fierce, fierce arguments. And because my dad basically, I think, now looking back, part of it is, I think in our family, like between my siblings, I kind of had more of like kind of like the business mind. And so, and my younger brother was already going to go into ministry, is already going to become a pastor. And so my dad now, you know, they're doing missions. And so my dad, we talked about this. And I think he felt like I was kind of the insurance policy. And so they were not going to make any money. My brother's not going to make any money. I need to go out and make money. And so, which is, you know, typical, right? I mean, we know this in Asian families. You know, what do you call life insurance in Asian families? Children. Okay. Any case, bad joke. Sorry. So we have this whole idea, and so I'm telling him that I want to be a missionary, and I want to play basketball. Can you imagine, like, my parents, like, what? That's not missions, you know, like. You know, this whole thing is like, yeah, I want to use sports to share the gospel with people. And that's like, that doesn't fly with very traditional, like, no, missionaries cross-cultural, you know, and you go learn the language and you study and, you know, and then you do some church thing, right? And it's like, but that's what it work out. And then, so my dad got beyond that, okay? Or I just basically tired him out of that. And then it became, then what you need to do is you need to go to seminary. And I was like, no. I'm leaving, you know, in 2 months. I'm not going to seminary. This is like, you know where the scripture talks about, like, in the book of Acts, they saw, you know, Peter and John, and they were uneducated, untrained, but they recognized they had been with Jesus. And I was like, no, I don't need to do that. I mean, I did go to seminary later on, okay? And so, you know, go through that whole thing. And, I mean, it was just crazy how this works. And we fought and fought. It got to the point where my dad said, okay, let's just time out. You're leaving soon. Let's just have peace. And so we didn't really resolve much. And so I went to the mission field. I came to Hong Kong. I spent a couple months here. Unfortunately, I got hurt and tore my ACL. And I had surgery. I came back to the U.S. And then my parents were leaving. And so we're still talking through this, and you know, I'm trying to rehab, get back to Hong Kong during this time. And what happens is, so my parents leave for the mission field. And so they have so much stuff that my brother's driving one car to the airport, LAX. I'm driving the other car, and I'm driving my dad. So it's my dad and I, it's my brother and my mom. And so we're driving to the airport. We live in Orange County, so it's an hour drive. And so my dad, the whole hour, held my hand while I was driving and cried the whole hour. And he, sorry, it's a little emotional. And he cried and he said everything that he told me before. You know what I mean? You know, like, you know, take care of your brother. You know, like all these things, everything he said to me, he said the same thing. And he said it to me in the car, but now he said it with tears. And I think it just really humbled me. And I realized that what I was not doing, I was not honoring them. I was not honoring him. I was judging him. And I was saying, I didn't say it out loud, but you're old. You don't understand modern missions. You know, you don't understand these things. You know, this is a different generation. And I use all those things. And I was willing to obey him, you know, in this way. And I realized what it really, like the honor part, it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. And I realized I needed to turn my heart. And the hour driving, and he was just crying. And he wasn't weeping, right? I'm just telling you, he was just, you know, tears were coming down. And I could feel his heart for me. And I could feel that, oh, your heart is, you're for me. I thought he wanted to just rule my life. You know how we get that with our parents? I thought he just wanted to tell me what to do. And just listening to him, I think God just did a deep work in me. And it's just basically, I realize it's my heart. The issue is not my dad. The issue is my heart. My dad's not perfect. No one is perfect in our lives. Our moms are not perfect. But you know what? They're trying their best. And that experience happened, and it led to a lot of other things that happened, and that's kind of where my message of sonship kind of came out of. It really came out of my own family, and particularly my dad and I and my mom and all these different things. And I remember I was at a retreat one time, and I really, during that drive, like God put something in my heart. I could see, okay, I need to work on this. There's something wrong here. And that led to a lot of other things. And I remember I was at this retreat, and the retreat was like, we had a break and so I decided, I just wanted to come in. I just sat down, I think kind of in the front, and I just decided that I'm just gonna pray for my dad. That's all. I'm just gonna pray for my dad right now. And I remember I got there and I just started praying for my dad. And I just said, God, I just want to understand my dad, because I don't understand him. I'm quite judgmental. And, you know, I have all these hurt feelings. You know, he didn't love me like the way that I feel like I should have been loved. And, you know, all these things. He doesn't care about me and all these things. And so I really just sat down and I said, God, I want you to really speak to my heart. And you know, the crazy thing, man, like after about 10 minutes of praying, I just started bawling. I just started weeping. And you know what happened is I saw my dad, and I saw him firstly through God's eyes, and I saw him that he's also just a broken son. And then God gave me a picture. I didn't really know my grandfather. My grandfather died when I was a baby. And so, but I got this picture of my dad and his father. And just kind of that relationship and how there was really no relationship hardly. And so, I mean, the whole prayer time was, the conclusion was, my dad's doing the best that he can with what he got. His example wasn't the best. He's trying to do the best that he can with his experience. And it just really melted my heart, because I was judging him based on my criteria. You know, I was judging him based on my hurts and my own pains. And you can't do that, because when you do that, it's not righteous judgment, right? The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And so, I could see it, and I was doing that to my dad, and I felt so sorry, and I repented, and I felt like I saw my dad in a totally different way. Brothers and sisters, our parents are not perfect. We know that. You know how we know that? Because many of us are parents, and we know how incredibly imperfect that we are. And, you know, but our kids are little, and so they're much more forgiving, right? We're a little older. We have our parents, you know. And I know that they may not have been the best examples for us and all those things. But the scriptures tell us that this is a good thing, to learn to honor them. It's about the heart. Can I invite us, you know, over this next week or months? For me, it was like a 2-year journey through this. And can I invite us to really explore our relationships with our parents, with our moms and our dads, and to really ask God to come in and speak to us about it, and so that we can really honor them? Look, I'm not dismissing that your parents have made all kinds of mistakes. I'm sure they have. And I'm sure some of them were very, very hurtful to you. And I'm not dismissing that. And if you're in a situation, you know, that's really quite evil, please remove yourself from that situation. And then ask God to work on you, on me, in this way. Because it's a powerful commandment. It comes with a promise. There's so many God elements that are part of that. And God doesn't want you to continue to be broken and abused and all this. Of course not. But God wants us to work on our hearts. He wants us to be forgiving. He wants us to be loving. He wants us to be whole and not broken. This is good for us and our lives. And I know this is, listen, I know it's not an easy message, because I know some stories. I know stories in this house. And I, you know, I'm petrified when I hear them, and I understand that, you know, but there's something that God wants to do in your life as it pertains to your mom and your dad. And there's reconciliation and restoration and transformation and new life that he wants to do, and healing and all these things. And this is good stuff for us. And this is, when we talk about, this is God's order. God's order with our parents in this way. And he wants to heal. He wants repentance too. He wants to, you know, solve maybe some very hurtful situations as well. But it's not gonna happen when we lash out in anger or we lash out in our bitterness. It's gonna happen when we get the heart of God. And listen, and it's okay to confront, you know, and not be in that cycle of pain. And that's fine to do that. But God doesn't want you just to stop there. He wants to bring full healing. And part of that full healing is this restoration that happens. And so can I encourage our congregation to really take seriously, you know, the next few weeks or so, just focus on this and just look at our relationship with our parents, our mom and our dad, you know, and just see if God wants to speak to you at all about it in any way. And if God is opening some kind of door for revelation or for healing or something to that effect. And so we can get to that place where, you know, honor your mothers and your fathers in this way. Amen? Does that sound okay? Amen? Okay. Can I invite the worship team to come up? And so my journey in this really started with prayer. really started with inviting God and asking him about, in that way, my dad. This with my mom is fantastic. I mean, just above fantastic. And so can I invite us to start our journey right now in prayer? Can I invite you to say, Lord, show me the way that you look at my mom and my dad. Show me the way that you see them. Because that's what I want. I want to have the mind of Christ. And let's just start in that journey. And I know that for some of you, this exercise is going to be a little bit painful because you did not live in honorable conditions. I know that, and I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that that was the case. God is sorry. And so it might take a little bit more, but can you just maybe start your journey of forgiveness? And not because they deserve it or anything like that. It's just simply because God forgave you. We were the bigger debtor, right? And so as Jung and the team lead us in a song, can I just invite us to spend a moment and pray with our mom, or pray for our earthly parents.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Can we do this? Since it's such a blessing to gather together, I just want to pray for some of you. If you grew up in a very not honorable condition, you know, with your parents, I just want to pray for you today. There's no pressure or anything like that. But I want to pray for you that you would receive this, like even the song that we said, that you would receive such love from Father God, that there would be such a grace over you, that there would be such healing that comes. Even though you may not have experienced a lot of parental love, you're going to experience right here in this place right now the Father heart of God, the Father love of heaven to come down. And hopefully that will start a journey of healing that happens in your life. And I know I'm asking some of you to be very vulnerable. This is not in any way mean you're exposing your parents or anything like that. I mean, most of us don't even know who your parents are anyway. But it's just for us to really just pray for them. And we just acknowledge, man, yeah, some of us grew up in not such honorable conditions. And that's part of the sinful world that we grew up and lived in. And we just want to pray for you. We want the body to pray for you. If that's you, can you just lift your arms up in the Lord? Just close your eyes and just lift your arms up. And June will continue to lead us. Can we have a little bit of lights on so we can? And so we're just going to pray. Just lift it nice and high so we know.
Restoration.
And can we do this? If you see someone around you that's hands raised, can you just put your hand on their shoulder? Let's just pray for them right now. Some of our friends have been abandoned by their parents. Horrible things. Whatever they lost in that, pray that they would receive from Father God right now. And even more so. Well, can we do that? Let's just lift them up right now. And if you want to move around, and if these are your house church members or whatever, let's just pray. Let's just ask God's touch and blessing. Go ahead, Joe. You give joy. You've taken my pain. Call me by name. You've taken my shame. And it's great. You give me. Bring restoration. Bring restoration. You bring restoration to my soul. You bring restoration. Bring restoration. Bring restoration to my soul. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You make all things new. All hallelujah, hallelujah. You make all things new, all things new. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You make all things new, all things. Continue to pray. Let's rise from our seats and let's sing this as a prayer, as an anthem before the Lord.
Bring restoration. You bring restoration to my soul. You bring restoration, God. You bring restoration. Bring restoration. You bring restoration to my soul. Sing hallelujah. You make all things new, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You make all things new. All things. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You make all things new, all things new. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You make all things new, all things new. Hallelujah.
Pray together, huh? Father, bring order to our families, God. Bring order, Father God, in the way that we see our parents, as parents here, the way that we relate to our kids. Lord, would you release the order of God? Lord, we don't want to minimize the damage that's been done, God, by authority figures, parental figures. But Lord, you want to bring healing and restoration. You don't want us to operate out of brokenness and pain, but out of freedom, God. And so would you touch us, Lord? I pray for every one of us, God, that with our parents, God, that you would speak to us very clearly about that, and that you would really minister to us. And as we lift them up, our moms and our dads, to you this week and the coming weeks, start this incredible journey of understanding and healing and restoration. God, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not. In my own story, Lord, you know, it took many years for me to have the kind of relationship that I have with my dad right now. That's a blessing. Because you want blessing. You want us to live long, prosperous lives on this earth. And so help us, Lord, we pray. We thank you, God. We love you. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit. Amen.